God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Hey, thanks so much for joining us in Mission Control. My name is Amanda, and I'm the Communications Director at First Baptist Melbourne and the host of this podcast. Today in Mission Control, we have Dan and Kate Carter joining us. I joked with Dan and Kate, but it's true that as long as I've been around here at the church, whenever someone talks about life groups, their name always comes up. They're strong leaders in the church through a variety of different ministries, and our church is stronger for it. Our conversation today centers around how God has used small group ministry in their life. Dan and Kate share their experiences of leading various groups in the church and the many groups that have grown out of the Carter Life Group. As someone who has also been deeply impacted through group ministry, my hope is that God might stir in your heart and inspire ways to dig in deeper in this area. We also spend some time talking about what God is currently doing in their life through the world of international adoption, as they are currently waiting to bring home the children God has entrusted to them in Liberia. Before we begin, be sure to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated when new episodes are released. And as always, if you find this episode meaningful, why don't you share it with a friend? Okay, let's get to it. So I thought we would start with a fun space-themed icebreaker.
Is it trivia?
It's not trivia. Okay, it's not trivia. It's not trivia.
Man on the Moon, 1969. That's what we got.
And we can take this however you want to take this. If you could have a conversation with an extraterrestrial being from another planet, what's a question you would ask?
Go for it, Dan.
There is no question that I would ask.
You wouldn't even engage with them?
No.
No?
No. Would not even play.
Would it be because you were, like, afraid of them or because you refused to...
Well, because I don't believe in them.
Okay, but, like, let's suspend that.
Pretend. He let's can't pretend. Do these categories.
You're a child, and let's pretend. We won't, like, wade into the theological waters of whether extraterrestrial beings exist.
He can't confess that.
I know. When I wrote the question, I was like, I wonder if people will get sticky on this.
Yeah.
But, like, pretend. This is for fun.
Okay, yeah. For fun.
For black and white.
For fun.
Let's just pretend.
Yes. Hypothetically.
Yes.
Hypothetically speaking, what would you ask them anything? Then would you engage?
I would ask them what their favorite animal to eat is.
Oh. Okay. What's your favorite animal to eat?
Oh, well, cow.
Okay.
Yes.
I think my favorite is chicken.
Yeah.
That's probably what I eat the most of. Mm-hmm. What about you, Kate? Would you ask them anything?
I'm not good on the spot like that. I can't think. I don't know.
I think I would first I'd just be like, what is your life like?
Okay.
There's just so much, like, yes. I don't even know.
How'd you get here?
How did you? Well, this question is also assuming either you met the extraterrestrial where they are. So maybe you're like a space voyager or they met us here. Because then that
changes everything.
Up, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no, other than like, another means of travel to get here.
Okay.
That'd be exciting. Hmm. Maybe it's a 12 passenger Nissan van.
Our homeschool van?
Yes.
I've had other really great segues into the main topic from this icebreaker, but today is not one of those days.
I'm sorry.
I really don't know how to segue. No, it's not you. I really don't know how to segue this, so okay. I guess we'll just get right into it.
Okay.
Where does God currently have you on mission in your life?
Okay, so we are serving in our church right here at First Baptist of Melbourne, which we love. Dan, I don't want to speak for him, but he's on staff with FCA. So our lives are in those two places. Also within the four walls of our home, we currently have 5 biological children and then 2 children we're in the process of bringing home. So it looks a lot like discipleship in our home with our children.
And, you know, Kate also leads a women's group that meets in our home every other Friday with about 10 ladies that come there over a meal and they work through a study together. I'm a part of a men's group that meets on Thursday mornings with just like very much a blue collar type of Bible study with lawn chairs in a parking lot. And
nice.
When it's cold, there's a bonfire. So
nice.
When I hear, so I've been at the church now for 7-8 years, and whenever I hear people talking about groups or leadership in that sense, your name is always one of the first that comes up. And you told me you're taking a break from leading groups, but you both just said you're leading two groups right now.
Did I say we're leading a group?
I mean, you have a women's group meeting in your home.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And then you are kind of like leading. So I say all that to say, I think it's so deeply, it goes to show that it's so deeply ingrained into your life that just leading groups. So I think let's talk about that. So like, where did God kind of start with that, with the formal Carter Life group? And when you started that, what did that kind of look like?
Yeah. So we have been a part of groups for over 10 years now, 10, 12 years here at First Baptist. The church did a push initially to start life groups, actually right before Scott became senior pastor here. And he started one with Jason Chack. And soon after it started, we were invited, or invite ourselves maybe, to be a part of the group. I remember actually having a conversation with Jason Chack right outside that Ed building. That long ago, and we were going to Cornerstone, which was a young adults ministry that existed here, which we used to be young adults, and we no longer get the emails for young adults now. But
we get the senior adults. We got senior.
we did get senior adults.
Congratulations, you graduated.
Yes. So we started going to that group, and we went there for maybe a year and a half or so in that time frame, and for us, it was really impactful in both of our walks with the Lord. We both believe we became believers in that season of attending the group with the Shaq Wilson group that was, and the Playos were a part of that, and some other couples were also a part of that. And we got to see people really love the Lord genuinely and like walk that out. And it was really just impactful for us to see other people that we knew and respected walking with the Lord and being genuine with that. And then over time, we actually started inviting some people to be a part of the group. And because of that, they ended up kicking us out of the group because there's like a clear core of like, oh, you guys should go start a group with these people you invited. Yeah. So I told Kate we should never invite people to anything ever again because you get kicked out when you invite people.
Yeah, that was really challenging when we were asked to multiply out. That's the word, right? Multiply out.
Yeah.
A new life group. However you want to.
It's a touchy subject.
Yes. I think we just were so connected, and the Lord did use it in really beautiful ways in our own walks with the Lord. And so we just had a hard time, you know, leaving. But the Lord used that season in really beautiful ways as we stepped into that role. And I think we both felt ill-equipped to do so, but the Lord was kind to give us the grace we needed in that season, and it's been a part of our lives since then. I think because the Lord used it in beautiful ways in our lives, that's why we're so passionate about it, both small groups and discipleship.
Yeah.
At the same time, I was meeting with Kim Malden in a one-to-one discipleship relationship. We did that for a few years, and that was transformative as well. So I think those two things were huge.
She came to our house like Thursdays at like 9 o'clock at night.
8:30.
8:30.
After we put our children to bed.
Nice.
She would
perfect,
come every week.
And she was working a full-time job, obviously, at the time, and really, for several years.
Mm-hmm. Sacrificial the way she did that and loved me through that season.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. How long had y'all been in the group before you multiplied or kicked out, whatever you want to call it?
I feel like the time frame is probably like a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like we were in it for long enough to see and have relationships and also to be sad that we had to go.
And those people still remain some of our closest friends. And we've multiplied groups since then, and still some of our closest, dearest friends are in groups that have multiplied.
So that was my next question. Yeah. How many times have you kind of spun out and multiplied?
I feel like that number's like 6.
That's impressive.
Over the years. And sometimes it's gone, sometimes it goes really well. And sometimes you learn some things of like, oh, if I could do it again, I would change some things and how you present that or how it goes. But it's really just been a blessing. You see, try to identify a group of key leaders and give them some leadership capacity while you're still one whole group together. And just start identifying those are relationships. These are key leaders that really could, you know, them not leading is not using their gifts. Mm-hmm. And right now I think there's 3 of them that currently meet on Wednesday nights. And then the fourth one that we're attending now. So four on Wednesday nights that we've been a part of, right? Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned there were some things you've learned. What are some things you've learned how to do it?
Yeah, some of that is just observation and seeing, you know, what the connectivity pieces are of a group to make it keep going. One of them, I think a lot of times people miss on this one because it's not as obvious. It's really what, like, so, you know, what during the group, I'm the person that's normally leading. So I'm, uh-huh. you know, facilitating conversation. And that's sure. really what the model that I do in life group is just more facilitation of conversation versus, you know, expert teacher.
Yes.
Which I also think that helps lower the bar of expectation of what it looks like to lead a group.
Yeah.
Because if you say, oh, I have to be the expert teacher there, and there are some places and some things, places even on our church campus where that happens from time to time in on Sunday school settings or in group classes.
Yeah.
But for multiplication purposes, if you can facilitate conversation and guide it through, you know, get yeah. gospel-centered and biblically focused, then I think that lowers the bar of for entry for somebody to come lead. The second thing I think is that's not as obvious is how important Kate's role is in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So what Kate does in the group is, you know, she, you know, through WhatsApp, she stays in constant communication with the ladies through encouragement of scripture or prayer. This is what I saw in my quiet time today. Here's a podcast I came across, and just keeping that dialogue where the ladies feel loved on and connected. So and that's something that I always try to share because I think that sometimes it's not as obvious because it's not out in front.
How have you, did you have any follow-up to that?
I think one thing that we have learned is just sharing that at the very beginning when we start a new group, you know, that this is the goal is yeah. to multiply, then you're setting that up before. So it's not a surprise like, oh, we've grown so close and now we're multiplying, surprise.
Yeah.
So I think if we're articulating that early on, they get it more. And I think we're doing better to communicate that. That is the goal. And it is hard because as the church is growing, our life group has grown and you do get close and you're sharing, you know, burdens and you're, you know, praying for one another. And the goal is to be vulnerable and authentic and you do get so close and then it's, you're saying goodbye, you know?
Yeah.
And in life group, at least, you know, you continue to have those relationships, but it is challenging,
yeah.
but it's been really beautiful to see how the Lord has raised up other leaders and these other groups that are strong and healthy and doing well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you look at some of the things that I've learned is one to promote those things that Kate shared, you know, think with the end in mind from the beginning. Right?
Yeah.
And then also the space of, you know, how key a role that she has in the group that's not as seen, but also when multiplying, identifying three or four couples that are a part of that sent group,
yeah.
and then allow for people to choose the groups they go to from there.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes hard because, yes. I mean, when you send out three or four key people, those are people that you really care about,
yeah.
and they're active in keeping the current group going. And
yeah.
so we've seen that at times where we've sent out like four first round draft picks and we're, and it's kind of struggles for a little season for us to kind of gain momentum. And we had to be intentional about inviting people. But, and that is really good because if somebody didn't let me into a group, mm-hmm. you know, 10, 12 years ago, mm-hmm. then I wouldn't have had that experience of seeing people right. being genuine in their faith
yeah.
and how it impacted me spiritually. So even though it's difficult, and there is things where you're like, oh, well, I was doing life with that person. Now we're not as much. But I think it is beneficial for the body as a whole to do mm-hmm. it that way.
Agree.
How have you helped some of the ladies work through that? Because I think I'll speak for myself as a lady. Mm-hmm. It's really hard when you have those tight relationships mm-hmm. and suddenly, yes, you're still friends, but you're doing life different. You're doing life together differently.
Mm-hmm.
How do you kind of help facilitate, or how have you helped facilitate that?
With ladies who have multiplied out?
Yeah.
I think it just takes intentionality. And it is hard. You only have so much time. And as you're trying to love on the new people that come into your group, you're also wanting to continue to foster, you know, relationships.
Yeah.
So it does look different, but it just takes intentionality. And we'll get together for dinner or, you know, try to have some gatherings where we make that happen. But I would say it just takes some intentionality.
Zach and I lead a life group, and we have tried to run up the hill a few times at multiplication. How have you recovered when things haven't gone well? Because that's been difficult for us.
So a multiplication that doesn't go well?
Yes.
Yeah. In those, I mean, you have an option. I'm trying to remember what we've clearly done in those, but I mean, you have the option of coming back together, right?
Yeah.
Like if this doesn't go well, you know, 6 weeks out, like, hey, listen, like but neither one of these are going well, or one of them's not going well. I mean, there is an opportunity to regraft back in.
Yeah.
And really not lose a whole lot. Yeah. I'm saying, hey, we tried, but it's just right now wasn't the season or wasn't the time. And sometimes you are active about maybe pointing other people to the other group, you know, or whatever the case may be, or, you know, I mean, so the end goal is to have two healthy groups.
Yeah.
Right. And so how that happens just takes some time. We have also had time where we do follow up with the other new group leaders, just having conversations, how are things going, and, you know, give it a little bit of, I don't know, just coaching or whatever, I guess you might call it. But
and how can we be praying for your group or praying for needs you may have, just coming alongside them? I think it's been a learning experience. We maybe would say, okay, we would maybe do that a little bit differently the next time. We've definitely learned what not to do. And sometimes feelings have been hurt, and that can be tricky, but the Lord has worked through it, and we've seen him, you know, restore things that have happened. So, but there have been some hard times, just to be vulnerable about and honest about, you know, some of the challenges.
Well, when you have relationships involved, you know, sometimes you just have to apologize if something doesn't go well. Mm-hmm. That's your intention wasn't for things not to go well, right?
Yeah.
So you just have to walk through that.
Taking a slight step back, what does a group meeting look like for a Carter Life group?
Yeah. So normally follow somewhat of a similar pattern each week. Our group starts at 6:30, hard cut off at 8 because you gotta go to the child care, and if you're not, then you get the look. and so you go up there. So most often it'll start 6:30 to 6:45 with just, you know, fellowship conversation, let people chat with the people around them. Most often there's snacks and drinks. Somebody, through the ladies, WhatsApp, they, you know, drinks and snacks appear. Then about 6:45, we start with an icebreaker. So I always find that helpful for somebody to hear.
I have a great icebreaker for you for your next meeting.
Yes, you do.
I heard you loved it so much.
Yes. So we normally do an icebreaker. Sometimes it's the one the church puts out. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's related to lessons. Sometimes it's not. From there, we'll do praises. And then we'll go through sermon discussion, and then end in prayer, and sometimes end in song, depending if we're how excited we are about singing, and if we got a singer that wants to. That ebbs and flows in seasons of who you have in your life group too. If you have somebody that'll take the lead a little bit for that.
Gotcha.
So, and then prayer at the end, and the reason for praises at the beginning and prayer at the end is, icebreaker, praises, sermon discussion, prayer. Because sometimes the prayers are super heavy, and like you start off with super heavy, and then you try to go through conversation, and it just, So, but we don't want that. We don't want those things to be neglected, but to do it in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've walked through some challenging seasons as we do life with others. You know, we've had, you know, group members who have lost family members and have walked through loss, and, just even things that we've walked through in our group has walked with us and has been really sweet. And it is doing life together. I mean, a life group, right? Isn't that the purpose? And we have felt very ministered to, and prayerfully we have ministered to others. I think that's one of my favorite things about life group is the doing life together and being known and knowing others. You know, we're blessed to be part of a really large church, but this is how we, you know, have those intimate relationships with others.
Yeah, it makes the church feel a lot smaller.
Yeah, and sermon discussion has been really amazing. I mean, we come here Sunday morning and we feast. Like, we get this amazing sermon, and then midweek we are able to talk about it.
Dive,
you know,
back in.
Yes, and maybe someone was super encouraged, and someone else was challenged, and someone was convicted, but to see how the Holy Spirit is working in everybody's lives so differently, you know, through the same sermon, and just being able to share that with one another has been super fruitful. You know, we've done different studies, right now media. Those are great, but I've really loved our conversations around sermon discussion. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, and at times we've had some sermon series that are more difficult to have life group conversation on. So we would still have the sermon discussion, but maybe we'll add in a right now media for those.
Gotcha.
We found that maybe when our group was smaller after multiplication, or, you know, just when you walk in, you're like, hey, that felt awkward for me. And it's probably awkward for everybody else there. And so we need to try to, and just being wise about that. Okay. Can you supplement, you know, a 30 minute right now media and then also still do the sermon discussion and help with that. So, but just being wise to what the room feels like too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What advice or encouragement would you have for someone? Maybe this is a two-part question. Someone who's never been in a group but is considering joining one, mm-hmm. or someone who's in a group and is kind of considering maybe branching out and multiplying and starting something new. Whichever one you want to answer first.
You're the first one.
What was the first one?
What advice do you have for someone who isn't in a group now but might be considering joining a group?
Oh, I would say join. I mean, it's... like we just shared, you know, it's the ability to do life together, to be able to walk together, to have others encourage you and spur you on in your faith. And I would say do it. It's like Dan was sharing for us. I mean, it was huge in us coming to know the Lord. And so, and growing in grace, it has been something the Lord has used and continues to use in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll answer the second one. So if you're in a group and you feel like the Lord has gifted you or given you a passion or both to lead, to provide hospitality for others, make others feel welcome and loved on, that I would encourage, you know, find another couple and start it. I mean, start, you know, make a commitment to each other, both couples, to be there and invite a few others. I mean, you can start a group that's not really large to start with.
Yeah.
And there's something really sweet and special about a small group that people are committed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus a group that's actually really large, because mm-hmm. you do lose some intimacy when it's large. And even if just the practical amount of time that each person could allocate to share something is divided so much. And, you know, really just, you know, bathe it in prayer, ask the Lord to reveal and share and just, but the way that the church does as far as sending out the sermon discussion questions, the prep time is not overwhelming. I mean, you mm-hmm. want to be familiar, go through the script again on church on Sundays, take notes, read it, read the questions they give you. You know, I would always listen to the sermon again Wednesday or Tuesday if I had a busy day Wednesday before life group and just be more familiar with it again.
Fresh.
Yeah, because my notes aren't super copious. So like you miss some things here and there and just get reminded of illustrations or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would just encourage in the space that our church is right now is that the church is asking for more groups. So you're actually meeting a need for other people we don't even know who they are yet, right? So.
Right. And if you don't feel equipped to do so, that's where we were when we started. Right. And our sufficiency is in Christ. Like, he will provide what you need. Mm-hmm. And he has been faithful to do so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think people underestimate the power of just setting aside consistency and showing mm-hmm. up with another couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then where the consistency starts to kind of not become more lax, mm-hmm. I think you find some of the success of it mm-hmm. also become more lax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So kind of taking a shift now a little bit. So you're in a different season in your life right mm-hmm. now. Can you kind of share some more about maybe the adoption journey and where that kind of started?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we, the Lord saved us, like we said, after we were already at this church, after we were married, and I think he put adoption on our hearts pretty quickly, but we were still in the process of having children, and I think it was on my heart first, maybe a little bit stronger, and I remember just asking Dan, and he said, not yet. Not uh-huh. no, but not yet.
Uh-huh.
And so the Lord shut the door for biological children for us, and he really opened the door at that time for adoption. Dan brought it up first, and I was there. And to hear that the Lord, just at his timing, brought us together. So it was during COVID, and so uh-huh. we really started praying through, you know, is it domestic? Is it international? I know we dialogued, and you just watching you guys walk faithfully through adoption has encouraged us and others in our church family. But the Lord led us to Liberia, and through some practical things as far as how many children we have, how old we are, but really our children are in Liberia, and that's where he led us. And so we're almost 3 years, well, not quite, 2.5 years into the process.
Yeah.
And we received an email about 2 weeks ago, and we have a date to fly out. So,
wow, that's exciting.
Yes, we fly out January 18th.
Wow, okay.
So it'll be two trips. The first trip, we will legally adopt them from Liberia. We'll be in country for about 2 weeks, and then while the U.S. Embassy processes everything, we'll be back here in the United States until we get the call to go back and get them, which should be between 4 and 6 weeks.
Okay.
So, yes, it's been an amazing journey, one that has been very challenging. And back to life group. I mean, the people in our life group have prayed with us, have just walked through the ups and downs in just amazing ways. And so how these things come together, adoption yeah. and life group. And we're so thankful for that.
Why Liberia?
Yeah, so when we started exploring, I think, as Kate mentioned, we started, you know, just being open to adoption, right?
Yeah.
And just generally, what is adoption? And started meeting with people, having conversations and praying about where the Lord would have us to be. I didn't actually know where Liberia was on the map.
I mean, I probably could not point at it either.
Western Africa.
Yeah, I think I would have guessed the continent, but I think that would have been like...
About where it ends.
Then after that, it would have just been a complete guess. We felt led towards international at the time, and circumstances were at that time is China was completely closed, who had been the previous largest place where people would do international adoption, mm-hmm. and it was efficient and quick, and obviously COVID had implications for that. So started looking. Kate and I had both been on mission trips to India, so we thought maybe the Lord wants us to do India, and India. Based off our current family size, they would never send us children. We gotcha. Didn't qualify. So you start going through some of these things are very practical things. Does this work? Does this make sense? You know, what's the requirement for in-country travel? One country was like 6 months. You had to go live in the country. So that one's okay. That's mm-hmm. too far for us.
Yeah.
So some of it became very practical, and then you started praying just about the Lord would have us to go and to learn, and start investigating through different. You know, just what was the lifestyle of these countries? You know, what was the need? Why are these children in that? So we just did a lot of research on that and started looking at agencies here in the U.S. And it really just came down to looking at agencies that were Christian in nature, where their bar for even bringing you in to be an adopted family was high, and we felt comfortable with that because at the end of the day, there's lots. It's expensive. Adoption is expensive,
yeah.
And the thought on that is this is some of these funds are going towards a ministry, and that made us
sure.
comfortable,
sure.
Right? And walking on that. And then Liberia was just where the Lord led us. I mean, I don't know any other way to explain mm-hmm. it than that, going from not knowing where it was to we have Kess and Isaiah there.
Mm-hmm. And in God's sovereignty, we have dear friends who live in Vieira, mm-hmm. and they were led to the same orphanage. So, and they recently brought their children home. We started our adoption journeys at about the same time, and so these children will cross the ocean and will
still have friends here. Yeah, awesome.
They were in the orphanage together.
Yeah, because we were looking at Liberia through a different adoption agency, and then our friends mm-hmm. Identified New Horizons who we're going with, and you know, then we had a call with them.
So I heard, I don't even remember who I heard it from. Was it then someone has met your children in Liberia?
Yes.
So can you tell that story?
Yes. That's an amazing story of just God's sovereignty. So Bruce and Grace Snavely, Bruce has a ministry where he travels to Africa, many different countries.
And they're members of our church.
Yes. Yes. And they equip pastors.
Uh-huh.
And he, one of the places he goes is Liberia,
uh-huh.
and he's actually been to the village, the county where our children are from, Nimba uh-huh. County. And so he was going to Liberia and offered to bring some gifts and to meet them. So we sent over some gifts, and he was able to meet them, sent the sweetest videos, aww. And read them this board book on the gospel and shared with them just how God loves them and that their mommy and daddy are coming, and then went on further to say that Jesus was coming back, and just did an amazing job of sharing the gospel with them. And so it'll be neat when they come here. They'll also have another familiar face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
selfishly as a parent, I really appreciate that there are several adopted children within our church, because even then my own child has other children who also have an adoption story. So I think it's cool to see how God can use all this together. And how cool is it that God in his sovereignty knew that there would be not only more adopted children that they could relate with, but adopted children from their home country. I think that's awesome. It's cool.
Yeah, we've seen the Lord working really neat ways through the adoption. And another way would be just a deeper understanding for our own adoption into God's family.
Yeah.
I think he's taken us deeper into our understanding of a family that we were not born into. And it's a much more glorious picture than this earthly picture of adoption. Much more glorious, but it's deepened our love for our Heavenly Father and what he's done for us.
Well, and just to, you know, the understanding that, you know, we've talked about in the past maybe year or two is that, you know, the Lord could have saved us, take away all our sins, given us grace, and us still not be able to go to him as a father and us be a son or a daughter of the King. And he chose to bring us into that closeness, and just understanding that through the adoption process or through being a parent or through being a child, right? Like it just really solidifies our Father's love for us in a really impactful way.
And it's opened up dialogue with others. So people will ask, like, oh, why are you adopting? And it's a beautiful segue to share the gospel, you know.
For sure.
Because they see you have five kids. Why are you adopting? You know,
and for sure.
It goes beyond wanting to grow our family.
Especially in your case when you already do have biological children.
Yes.
It's much more of a, well, this isn't normal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so one of the things that's been neat for us just through the adoption is the dialogue and the sharing. And one thing, Kate is actually getting published on the Gospel Coalition.
Oh, nice. A little plug.
Yeah. So
what are you writing about?
So when I was graduating from seminary, I wrote a paper on adoption.
Wait, you went to – I don't think I knew that you went to seminary. What did you study in seminary?
So that's another cool story. I started – Dan started with Aspire, and I was reading all the books alongside him. This is a plug for Aspire. If anyone is
– This is good.
Praying about going to Aspire, go to Aspire.
What is Aspire, Kate?
It's a seminary level – they're seminary level classes at our church where Scott – is the professor, is the teacher, and there's a cycle of four classes that rotate. And so Dan was reading the books, and I was reading them alongside him, and he encouraged me. He's like, you should jump in. So I started one semester with Rye. We were the first two ladies to jump in, and I loved it. I loved it. And Pastor Scott and Pastor Darren encouraged me, and I think I was always already wanting to go to seminary, so I started. I graduated this past December.
Okay.
So I was writing a paper on adoption, how our vertical adoption compels us to care for the plight of the orphan. And so part of my paper had some church history and some of our church fathers and how they have cared for the orphan. And so that's the part that's being published.
So if you're listening to this, you can. It's at the Gospel Coalition is where it's being published? Okay. We have a published author. That's awesome. So wait, what was your seminary degree in, though?
Master of Arts in Christian Studies.
Okay.
I really was wanting to do the MDiv, like the MDiv track, but...
It's a big one.
Yes, and I think just in the season of life, it was an off-ramp. And Dan's nodding in encouragement, because it is a lot of work to be in seminary, but
Dan,
I loved
it. Dan, have you
it.
Been through seminary as well?
I have. I've taken a few classes. I did the Aspire, and then I did one... after Aspire, so I guess we have five classes in, but we learned that both of us being in seminary at
it's
the same
hard.
Time with life was
because you have 5 kids right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I only have 3, and I'm like, wow. So you graduated this past December, and is writing kind of what you enjoy doing, or was this just God kind of worked all of it together?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm a naturally gifted writer. I think it's a topic I'm very passionate about. Mm. And so
fair.
It's easy for me to share.
Do you have any ideas of what you want to do with your seminary degree? Or is it more just a like knowledge kind of building thing?
Well, I think in this season, it's, again, the places where the Lord has me in ministry.
Sure.
I love ministry to women and was part of our women's ministry team for a season and loved doing that. Right now, ministry to women is a little bit more organic, and even like I stated earlier, you know, ministry in our home and the discipleship of our children. It's
yeah.
a high calling. Like we yeah. are God's ambassador to our children. And so yeah. in this season, that's what it looks like. But maybe down the road, I don't know what the Lord would have for me uh-huh. as bringing home two littles, you know, maybe a little bit longer down the road. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Sure. Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm learning new stuff today. That's awesome. What excites you about the future of ministry or group leadership or your family building?
Being a parent and, you know, you bring your children home and like, you're like, I can't love them anymore. Right.
Yeah.
You know, just the instant, being a father, being a parent. But just seeing our kids grow.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a wide spectrum of ages and what yes. they're walking through too. So your 15-year-old's about to start driving.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's all new. All the way down to 3, almost 4.
Right.
It's yeah. a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm just excited to see them as they grow in the Lord. Addison's getting baptized at the lake.
How old is Addison again?
Addison's 13.
Okay.
And so yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting. Just to see them grow and to walk with the Lord and you know, to grow it to be young adults, and that season's exciting mm-hmm. for us.
Yes, no greater joy than seeing our children walk in truth. I mean, it's been a joy to see them grow in their love for the Lord. And ups and downs for sure. Ups and downs for sure. I mean, there's hard seasons of parenting and
yes.
Ample opportunities where we feel ill-equipped. But again, always back to like our sufficiency is in the Lord, that He provides our needs. But it's a joy to be a parent. And I think bringing our kids home next spring, as soon as that happens, is something we've been looking forward to for 2.5 years. So,
are you still homeschooling as well? Did we already establish that?
No, we are still homeschooling. Oh, okay. Our oldest 3 are in a co-op where they go 2 days a week to Pietas. It's a classical Christian school.
It's new, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then our younger 2 are at home every day. So 3 days during the week, all 5 children are home, and then we will homeschool our 2 adopted children. So they're learning English as a second language. So that's going to have its own challenges.
Own set of
yes,
things. Yeah,
yes. But we plan on just going slow and reading lots of books, sitting on the carpet, just taking our time as they pick up on language. And yeah, we're super excited about that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So finally, what advice or encouragement would you have for someone who's feeling the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God? It's a mouthful of a question.
Yes. Well, our church is stating this on the wall that yes. we get to look at each Sunday and get reminded of. You know, the fact that we get to walk in things that the Lord has predestined for us to walk in beforehand. We just get to walk with the Lord in mm-hmm. those, and for us to be obedient to what He asks us to do, and to know that He's walking there with us. And I just encourage people to do it, just to live out and point others to Jesus. Remind yourself, remind me that it's the intentionality of doing that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5 comes to mind, you know, that we are now new creations, and now He calls us as His ambassadors to implore others to be reconciled to God. And so that's our calling. And so whether it's in our homes or through FCA or in our, you know, Bible studies, and the need for the gospel is continual, right? Once we're saved, we still need the gospel. So reminding one another of our hope in the gospel is still needed. So just, I think that's one study we did was called Gospel Fluency. And that was a really great study. And it talks all about speaking the gospel into one another's lives, saved or not saved yet. And so just having that gospel fluency in the places and spaces where the Lord has us, and allow the Lord to give the growth. He's the one who saves, and He's mighty to do so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for coming. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed this conversation. I learned new things.
Aww.
So I hope other people also learn new things, and I think people will be encouraged to hear this.
Aww.
And I hope that maybe some people will listen to this and maybe feel inspired to start a new group, because we're always looking for new group leaders and more groups to start. So
that would be amazing. Thanks, Amanda. We enjoyed
Thank
it
you.
Too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church.
Next time in Mission Control, we have David Hasker joining us. If you don't already know him, David is the worship pastor here at First Baptist Melbourne. He's been a big supporter of this podcast and pretty early on joked with me that he couldn't wait to get behind the microphone. So I thought it was only fitting to give him a chance before the end of the year. I'm looking forward to sitting down with him, and I can't wait for you to get to hear him share his heart with you. Until then, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.